Shakaramahasalabianda. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who reigns forevermore. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who reigns forevermore. Hallelujah. I love saying, bless you, Lord. The scripture says, bless the Lord. And it's a wonderful thought to think that you can actually do something for God. You can bless Him. God is actually blessed when you bless Him. He actually receives love. He receives blessing when His people go, oh, bless you. Bless you, God. That's a wonderful thought. It's not a religious thing that you just say out of your mouth. You can actually bless God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. The Psalms say, bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who reigns forever. We can rest securely in Him, and we can bless Him. Bless Him with the fruit of our lips. Isn't it a wonderful thought to think that God is blessed by you? Isn't that lovely? Why wouldn't you do it all the time? Because He's worthy of worship. Worship is meant to be an everyday, ongoing, continuous thing where you just bless Him and lift Him up and glorify His name. Hallelujah. Anyway, there's some people here who love God. It's lovely. I can see it all over your shining faces. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit. Ha. The Holy Spirit is not some lesser being, not some minor part of the Trinity. The Lord is the Spirit. God Almighty is the Spirit. And the Spirit is with me. He's with you too if you've received Him. The Lord is the Spirit. That's an amazing thought. The Holy Spirit is the Lord. He is just as much God as God the Father, because He is God. It's not, we don't worship three gods, we worship God. Now, I'm not trying to get into some theological argument here, but the Bible says that the Lord is the Spirit. And that's a wonderful thought to know that the Holy Spirit, God Himself, is here with us. And whenever I talk about Him, I sense His presence. When you realize that this isn't just some angel, servant of God, this is God Himself, the presence of the Holy Spirit that we're sensing here tonight, that is with you, walking with you, that you have fellowship with, the fellowship of the Holy Ghost. You have fellowship with God Almighty Himself, God Himself. I wrote a song a little while back that I've just begun recording, and it was a song to the Holy Spirit. I was just singing, Holy Spirit, I need you. Holy Spirit, I love you. Holy Spirit. And as soon as I addressed Him, I could sense His presence. It was as though He's right there sitting on the piano still with me. It's not my imagination. That is what the Bible says, that He is right there. And you acknowledge Him. The more you acknowledge Him, the more He'll make Himself manifest to you. You see, He's with you. But if you'll actually acknowledge Him and talk to Him, you will be able to develop relationship with the Holy Ghost. that is a really, really wonderful thing. That is the key of my life. Relationship with the Lord, who is the Spirit. We have fellowship with the Holy Ghost. And if you would just speak to Him during the day, it was a novel idea when I first started addressing the Holy Ghost. I've spoken about this before, but I'd pray to God the Father and I'd pray to Jesus and I'd pray in Jesus' name and I'd know that the Holy Ghost was with me, but I never actually talked to Him, which seems strange, but I didn't know that you could. And when I began to speak to the Holy Ghost, began to ask Him questions, knowing that the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is my teacher, that He's my guide, He's my counselor, He's my helper, who'll put me in remembrance of the things that Jesus has spoken. Praise God. I began to learn, I have a friend that is closer than a brother, that's more wonderful even than Tom. By a long shot, but he's wonderful. But he's with me all the time. He's got time to hear everything that I want to say, and I have lots to say. Tom's very patient, but the Holy Spirit's even more so. And he's right here. He's with me to walk me through everything. In every temptation, he's just there waiting for you to turn around and ask, okay, you said you'd make a way out of this temptation. Help, what's the way? You go, right, glad you asked, and he'll show you. The Lord says that if you will trust in Him with all of your heart, lean not on your own understanding, but in all of your ways, acknowledge Him, He will direct your path. And that means, as far as I can see in the Bible and from what I have discovered, the more I talk to the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the more He directs my path. Can you just sense His presence as we talk about Him? It's just, it's so wonderful. Hallelujah. Anyway, trying to get past this. Now the Lord is the Spirit. Yes, we love you, Lord. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. That means there's freedom from bondage. There's freedom from captivity. There's freedom from sickness. There's freedom from fear and torment. Now, if you've been in church a long while, you've probably heard this scripture many times. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And you go, oh yes, that's nice. But if you actually recognize what this is saying, Holy Ghost is right here. Lord Almighty, God is here with us. The Lord is here. And where He is, there is freedom. There is liberty. That means there is freedom from anything you need freedom for. That means anybody here who's suffering with any oppression, affliction of the enemy, and let me tell you, Satan came to steal, kill, and destroy. God came to give life and life more abundant. Anything that belongs in the steal, kill, and destroy, sickness, disease, death, oppression, depression, whatever it might be, the Spirit of God is here to give you liberty. And you don't actually have to do anything to make that happen. He's done that. All you have to do is ask and receive by faith. That's it. That's the gospel message. Isn't that wonderful? The Spirit of the Lord is here with liberty to set you free. You can sit here right now as I'm preaching and in your heart just say, Lord, set me free from this. I've done that. I've asked. Holy Spirit, would you set me free from the fear that my husband would die? You know, God did such a huge work in my life the night I prayed that. I didn't realize that fear was just this tiny tip of a huge iceberg. And that night, God did a huge, massive deliverance for me. Praise God, you were interceding for me that night. Helen, praise God, you didn't even know me. God just had a interceding. I'll never forget that. And God delivered me and set me free because I asked Him to. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Do you need to be set free from anything? Anything? I'm not offering you vain hope. I'm offering you the truth that will make you free. You will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. He is here. It's just simple fruit preaching, but boy, it'll change the world if you'll get it. Hallelujah. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, freedom from bondage, all bondage, complete and perfect freedom is what that word means. It doesn't just mean that, it'll make you, set you free in a few areas, but you'll have to just struggle through on your own and then the others. You know, healing and deliverance and all of that stuff is received by faith, just as salvation is. By grace are we saved through faith, right? We believe what he's done. Same thing with healing. Just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe what he's done. Receive it. Believe it. Isn't it wonderful to think that you don't actually have to do anything to get your healing but believe and receive? I don't have to do anything when I go to pray for the sick except do what he says and believe and just obey. That takes all the pressure off. You don't have to conjure up some brilliant God, make the power flow through me. All you have to do is by faith believe what he says and release it. And thank you, Jesus, you said, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So I lay hands on the sick and I thank you right now they recover. And they do. And they do. It's wonderful. It's just wonderful. Colin was in Tibet last week. Some other people in Tibet. They laid hands on people and they got their eyesight back. Woohoo! That's really exciting. Blind eyes open. Whoa, he must have really done something to make that happen. You know what? Just believed. It's a wonderful thing to think that you don't have to go through spiritual calisthenics, gymnastics to try and make something happen. You simply trust and obey and he's here. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, and you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Wow, this gets better. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. So where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Therefore, everywhere you go, you can bring complete freedom from bondage. That's what it says. That's what the Bible says. How wonderful. How wonderful. How wonderful to see the saints arising and shining and beginning to move in what they're called to do. You see, there is an awakening. It's already begun and the people of God are beginning to wake up and realize what they've got. So they say, such as I have, give I thee. I have the Spirit of the Lord within me, and wherever he is, I am too. And there's liberty and freedom because he's in me. Hallelujah. That's good. That's good news. And you're all called to do it. It's even better. There's freedom from fear and torment. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear because fear involves torment. Anyone that suffered with fear understands the torment that comes with it. The tormenting, it's a spirit. It torments you. Fear is a spirit that's sent to torment you and bind you. But the Spirit of the Lord is here to set you free from fear. And he can only trap you in the areas that you don't know that you have authority over him. If you think this is too hard, this is too big, then he's got you. His only weapon against you is deception. His only weapon against you is deception. The truth says that the Spirit of the Lord is within you when you receive him, when you receive the Lord, the Spirit of God is upon you. This is the deceiver comes and says, you have to put up with this fear, this crippling fear. You have to put up with this or that. And if you believe him, then he has ground to torment you with fear. But if instead you say, no, the Word of God says that perfect love casts out fear, and God is love, and God's in me. Therefore, what are you doing here, fear? You can't stay here. In the name of Jesus, I resist you. You have to leave because the Bible says so. I take the sword of the Spirit, which says, that it's mighty to the pulling down of strongholds, that I am born again because Jesus died on the cross for me. Get simple, get basic. And he destroyed all the work of the evil one. He lives in me now, so you can't stay. So I'm not going there, devil.
Amen.
Hallelujah. This is good. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear because fear involves torment. God is not a tormentor. The enemy is the tormentor. Hallelujah. I loved hearing your testimony, how God's just set you free. And every time you said, I love you, Lord, Miles was saying, every time he'd get in worship, every time he'd cry out, I love you, Lord, he'd feel like this wrenching in his spirit, in his belly where the fear attacks used to be. And God just delivered him from fear. Hallelujah. Because every time you say, I love you, Lord, he goes, oh, I love you too. Pours in his love and there's no more room for fear. Perfect love casts out fear. It's like turning on the light. You turn on the light, darkness just goes. There's no struggle, just goes. More love, Lord. That's why I pray for you. And all the leaders are praying for you from Ephesians chapter 3. So if you're coming here, we don't have membership, so if you happen to have your bottom on a seat right now, you're being prayed for, that you would know that the Spirit of God would strengthen you in your inner being, that you would know together with all the saints what is the height, the depth, the breadth, the love of God that passes knowledge, that you'd be filled with all the fullness of God. And you know what? That's the perfect will of God. Therefore, whatever we ask according to his will, he'll do. So praise God. It's good. Anyway, so there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Verse 18 Second Corinthians. Verse 18 says, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." We all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. The more that we spend time looking at God, the more we get to see who he is, and the more we are transformed from glory to glory into the same image that he's created you to be. See, he's made you a new creation. Now your mind just needs to be renewed. Recognize what it is you actually look like now. So if you want to know what you look like, you just got to look at him. And the more you look at him, the more you'll remember. Yeah, that's what I look like. Wow. Clean, holy, pure, filled with power. That's what I look like. Selfless. Hallelujah, that's who I am, not who everybody else will say who I am, not who the enemy would try and tell me I am. I just need to look at him. Sometimes the enemy comes against people with voices, oh, you haven't done this, you haven't prayed enough. He tries it at me. It's a works mentality. Oh, you haven't done enough, you haven't done this enough. When that happens, you put your hand over the mouth of the accuser, because that's not God. You can lift your eyes to him. Ah, that's what I look like. Hallelujah. Lord, I seek your face. The reason he tells us to seek his face is because the more we seek his face, the more we see. And the more we realize what he's done and who he's made us to be. Because he's made us in his image. Hallelujah. As he is, so are we. In this world, 1 John 4:17, love has been perfected in us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. We don't have to fear judgment because we are as he is right now. That's what the scripture says. Love has been perfected in us. God is love. That we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. How is God? God's not having any trouble with sickness. God's not being tormented by thoughts of he hasn't done enough. His mercies are new every morning, and as I die daily, my sin, and say, Lord, cover me, wash me with your blood. My sins are blotted out right now. And as he is, so am I in this world by the grace of God. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Praise God. Oh, it's good. So when someone tries to come and judge you, or the enemy tries to come and judge you, or you try and judge you, sometimes we're our own worst enemy, aren't we? You can say, hey, hang on. I'm not subject to the judgment, because as he is, so am I in this world. I might have sinned yesterday. I might have been slack. I might have been selfish. I might have been that. But actually, it doesn't matter, because now God, as I've brought and confessed my sins before him, he is faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And right now, I stand clean and pure before God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's good. That's good news. The gospel's easy to preach. Hey, Kevin. It's just simple. It's beautiful. Proverbs 23:7 says that as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. The Bible says that we are crucified with Christ, no longer we that live, but Christ who lives in us. And the life we now live in the flesh, we live by the faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. But Proverbs tells us that as you think in your heart, so you are. That's talking about faith, what you believe in your heart. As you think in your heart, so are you. If you think you are a worthless, useless, selfish, pathetic, hopeless hypocrite, I'm sorry, but the Bible says that's what you are. Because that's where your faith is. You're believing a lie, and what you believe is what you are. So that sort of just takes the gloss off false humility, doesn't it? You can't afford it. You've got to believe. You've got to believe that you are pure, holy, and righteous because of what Jesus has done. As a man thinks in his heart, what do you think about yourself right now? That's a good question. Tell you what, God thinks a whole lot more of you than you probably do. And it's not gracious or godly or humble to have a lower opinion of yourself than God. Now, you shouldn't think more highly of yourself than you ought, but you shouldn't also believe the lies of the enemy. To think not more highly of yourself than you ought is not to think that your righteousness is of your own self. But it is imperative that you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. This is a foundational, fundamental thing. A lot of people have believed that God exists, believed that the word is true, but fail to believe that the blood actually has made them totally clean and pure. And that is a vitally important thing. You must believe. You must believe. So I challenge you, what do you think? What do you think in your heart right now? What do you think about yourself? If you've sinned, if you have sin in your life that's unconfessed, confess it. And as soon as you confess it, it doesn't have to be a big magnanimous display. Sometimes I used to think that if I had a bad thought or I said something, I'll say a quick sorry now and then I'll go home and really repent properly later. A quick sorry now, if it's meant from the heart, is instantly forgiven, instantly cleansed. It's a walk of faith. It all comes down to faith, to believing. Okay, it feels uncomfortable, God, but I will believe. I will believe that I am pure and lovely and righteous and without spot right now, because you cleanse me from all unrighteousness. You forgive me for all of my sin. And we turn our back on sin. The Bible says, Numbers 13:33 says, when the spies came back from the promised land, they said, we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. See, if you believe in your heart that you're like a grasshopper, so you will be in the sight of those around you. That's true. If you believe you don't have much to give, so will people around you. You've got to believe in your heart that when you go to pray for somebody, that you're not some insignificant nobody, but that you're actually son, daughter of the living God, in whom the Spirit of the Lord dwells. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is absolute, total freedom and liberty. Perfect, perfect freedom and liberty. So unless you believe that in your heart, you haven't got anything to give. You need to begin to wake up and see what he looks like, because that's what you look like. And as soon as you know it, you have something to give. Am I preaching the truth here tonight? Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6 said, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts so as to beam forth the light for the illumination of the knowledge of the majesty and glory of God, as it is manifest in the person and is revealed in the face of Jesus Christ the Messiah." God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts so as to beam forth the light for the illumination of the knowledge of the glory of God. God has shone forth his light in your heart so that you will beam it forth. Not so that you'll just have a warm, gooey feeling, but so that you will shine. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, but we're not called just to keep it there. You know, when you get saved, I was saved when I was about 12 years old on a youth camp. Everyone was raising their hands to the Lord and singing. I'd been brought up to believe in God, to know the scriptures. But I said that day, I said, "Everybody's raising their hands and singing to you, God. God, I believe in you, but I can't see you. I don't know you. I don't know who I'm singing to. Please help." Right then and there, that point, Mount Tachikoi I was, God touched me and he revealed himself to me and I was converted right there in the worship. And nobody, nothing can take that away. I know that I know that I know. My eyes have seen. Hallelujah. I was blind, but now I see. And that's what happens when you're converted. You go, I know that I know. You don't have to have some spectacular experience. It doesn't have to happen for you the way it happened for me. But there has to come a point where you go, I know. I know that my Redeemer lives. And that is the light that's within you. But it's not meant to just stay there and make you feel good. He will build you and he'll fan that, help you fan that into a flame. I remember soon after that, I locked myself out of the house, and I didn't lock myself out. I came home from school and needed to get into the house, and Mum had all these fancy locks, and I found the hidden key and was trying to open the door, and for the life of me, I couldn't open that door. I tried and tried until I was in tears and I cried out, "God, help me." And it opened. I walked in the door and fell on my knees. Thank you, Jesus. For years, and I wrote it in my journal. For years and years, I knew God had showed up just to show me that he was real. Little things like that that to you might seem ridiculous. I know that I know. I know who my God revealed himself to me. And I kept records of it as a child. I kept, God did this, God did that. And I asked him to do this and he did this. And they would become hooks for my faith. But I know that I know. And that's a wonderful thing, but then it is meant to shine forth, to beam forth to the world. The light that's within you, more than just that inner knowing. God said, "Let light shine out of darkness." We're called to beam forth the glory of God, to arise and shine. Let the light go forward. Like, I love that Miles is witnessing to everything that moves. I love it. You know, 2 months ago, gave his life back to Christ, and just he's witness to more people than most of us in this room have in the last 2 months, than most of us in this room have in a year. Praise God. Because he's got something. It's wonderful. It's shining forth. And you have it too. We have it too. To shine forth the light of Christ. We're called to to arise and shine and let it go forth wherever we are, the bus station, at the shops, wherever we are, and to die daily. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, but it's like those clay pots that Gideon's army had. When they went out to attack the enemy, they had a strategy. They had the torches, flaming torches, inside clay pots. And at the appropriate time, they would all smash their pots. And boom, the light would shine out of the darkness. And the enemy would be terrified and they'd flee and they'd have victory. They had victory. You know the story? It's a picture of our clay pots, these earthen vessels that just are supposed to be crucified with Christ, die daily so that the light of God shines forth. And when that happens, victory is assured. Christ in you can never be defeated. I remember watching some Catherine Kuhlman videos. She'd wag her little finger and she'd say, "Never defeated on a single score. Jesus was never defeated on a single score. And neither should you be." And it's true. And that's the truth. Not on a single score. Praise God for inviting woman of God. She knew the truth, though. And the truth set many, 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 many people free. And many more are going to know the truth and be set free. Hallelujah. As you arise and you shine and you recognize, hey, I don't have to accept a defeat on a single score. I don't have to accept defeat in anything. You don't have to have a cold. You don't. Is that of God? No. Awful tormenting thing. Makes you rub your nose. Makes people want to shy away from you. God doesn't want that. He wants you to walk in life and life more abundant, health. Hallelujah. You can, when you begin to realize that greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. I will resist the enemy. He'll come with deception and try and put some symptoms on you. And if you go, oh, I just have to battle through this now, then you will just have to battle through this now. But if you resist it, and say, no, I'm not having it. You steadfastly resist it in the faith. He flees. Submit yourself to God. That means submitting yourself to the Word. Resist the devil. And what does the Word say? Now, if this isn't true, we might as well all go home. But if it is true, we might as well believe it and walk in victory. I know what I'm talking about. Hallelujah, because he is so good. We're called to shine like stars in the universe as we hold out the word of life. To shine with the glory of God. Went to two funerals this week. But Wednesday was Leela Galeen, beautiful woman of God, missionary all her life. Had spent her years on the PNG mission field, just telling people about Christ. You never hear her complain about anything. Beautiful woman of God. And when they went to pray for her as she was dying, they said, "Is there anything we can pray for you for, Leela?" She said, "Souls. Pray that God sends out more laborers into the field and that more souls will be saved." And you go, "Oh God, help me to become transformed into your image." Went to another funeral today, another dear old lady that had died. And they read the story of how her father had been a railway worker and up in North Queensland. And as it was done during those war years, people had come during the Depression. The workers would get off the line when the train was coming, and people in the train would throw out their newspapers to share them with the workers, and they'd be there grabbing the newspapers. And one day they stepped back waiting for the train, and people threw out their newspapers, and he reached to grab one, didn't get a newspaper, but he got another piece of paper, and it was a tract from the Bible Society. So at Smoko they all sat down to read their bits. He had his bit, so he read his bit. about the grace of God and read it again. Saw it was given out by the Bible Society. So he went to them, got a Bible, read his Bible, found out you needed to be born again, gave his life to Christ. Then he sold his belongings and he bought a cart, filled it with Bibles, and went out and gave it to people. He died a few years later, and his little 13-year-old daughter then grew up to work for the Gideons. And she spent her whole life, everywhere she went, in the shopping centres, everywhere she went, telling her personal testimony and giving them a Bible. They'd just buy boxes of them, just give them out. Everywhere they'd go, they'd be planting them in hotels. And I thought, God Almighty, Lord, let me have a light that shines so brightly that when I get to heaven, I have had a fruitful life. And it encouraged me. We are the salt of the earth. You have the light within you. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It's good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world, Matthew 5:14. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. This particular lady, she was not a limelight sort of person. She shunned the limelight, didn't like to be up front at all, but she did whatever she could. She gave her time serving as a secretary in the church freely. She'd just do whatever she could, you know, and minister to everybody that would walk in, everyone that she'd meet. And no matter what your personality or call is, you are called to shine your light. Don't give me that you're just called to pray. You are called to make disciples. You, every one of us. We're all called to do the work of an evangelist. Do I hear an amen? That's true. Hallelujah. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 says, therefore, since we have this ministry, what ministry? The ministry of beholding God and becoming more like him and then shining our light to the world. Seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. We're called to manifest Jesus. We're called to manifest Jesus and commend ourselves to every man's conscience. What that means is that through our lives, we're called to live by example, to show forth the example of who Christ is. You are made to be in his image so that you might show the world what he's like. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. The scripture says, do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life. God's called us to live as examples. And no matter what people around you say, deep down in their conscience, they know. Every man's conscience, it says, they'll know that you're walking in the light. Now you think, well, that's a tall order. How, God? How can I walk a pure life? How can I lead an example? Again, that's only by faith. And it's by turning you back on the things of the earth. We're called to come out from among them and be separate. Is that right? We're called to love everyone, to do everything without complaining or arguing, to have nothing to do with the works of darkness, to have clean speech and clean minds, and to spend our time thinking about things that are pure and lovely and of a good report. You know, I've come to the place where I'm tired of regretting watching that movie. You know, I'll just be honest with you. And sometimes at the end of a night, you know, we'll think, oh, well, maybe we'll watch a DVD. And then I'll finish watching the DVD and think, God, I'm so sorry. You know, I didn't need to watch that rubbish. And I've come to the place where I'm tired of that. I don't wanna feel yuck after watching something. So praise God. Now, you know, like this week, we had a couple of nights free. We got home and the kids were put to bed, and we had a half an hour or so. And we turned on the God Channel and watched a conference, you know, with Tommy Tenney or Mike Bickle or something good. And I went to bed and I said to Tom, gee, it's nice to go to bed with a clean conscience. I'm not talking about a works mentality that says you can't do this and you can't do that, but there's a lot of stuff we feed on, like movies with sex before marriage that's glorified and where the name of God's used in vain. I'm not saying you can't have recreation and leisure, but there is a whole lot of stuff that makes your conscience grieved, or it makes my conscience grieved. And I'm tired of feeling like that. So we've made a decision. As we sat there and we were deciding what we were going to do, I actually physically began to pray. I began to say, Holy Spirit, you made a way out of this temptation for me. I did. So you made a way out of this temptation for me. So Father, I thank you. Help me. Because you said you make a way out of every temptation. We're tempted now just to sit down and watch some TV. So God, I ask for your help that we won't end up watching something. And I'm not talking about watching disgusting things. Just the same stuff that everybody else seems to be eating. But you know what? You're not called to be the same as everybody else. You're called to be like an eagle. I love the way Cole Stringer puts it. He talks about eagles and how we are called to mount up on wings as eagles, and how Christians are often compared to eagles in the scripture. And eagles only eat fresh food. They never eat anything dead. But a lot of people can be like chickens on the ground, and they just peck at whatever's going, you know? Oh, whatever Channel 7's showing tonight, whatever that's happening, you know, we'll just flip the channels. Oh yeah, well, too bad, you know, nothing else good on, we'll just watch this rubbish. It's like chickens pecking at the garbage. And you're called to live as eagles, called to soar. God has a higher life. And I've come to the place where I like that a lot better than I like that. And the more you spend time looking at him, the more your tastes will change. Feeding the sensual appetites just won't do it for you anymore. You know, this chicken feed doesn't taste so good now that I've tasted what's really fresh. It's like Molly, our little dog, my little white dog. Sometimes I send her when we go away to go and stay with other people, and she normally gets dry dog food at home. And sometimes I send her to stay with somebody for a week, and they've fed her fresh meat every night. So when she comes home, I'll put down the dry dog food, and she'll just look at me with disgust and not eat for 2 days. God wants you to taste and see that he's good, because you'll spoil your appetite for anything else. God has life and life more abundant for you. We had the most wonderful time just the other night, just sitting down. Just for half an hour, we got to watch a conference going on and just feed on something that was good. We went to bed and we were able to talk about what the Holy Spirit was speaking to us. And it's like, wow, this is so much better. So much better. Hallelujah. We're transformed into his image from glory to glory. And those old appetites just don't fit with the new creation, do they? When we're born again, we're made a new creation. We're called for higher things. As Christ is, so are you in this world. If it doesn't please him, it's not going to please you. It's true. You'll just be conflicted. Whatever. You can ask. I mean, people wear those little wristbands. But you can ask the Holy Spirit, who is the Lord. Would this please you? Is this what you'd like to do? And if it's not what he'd like to do, then you know what? It's not what you really would like to do either. Will this make you happy? Will you enjoy this? If he won't, then you don't have to go, never lets me have any fun. You can know that it won't actually make you happy either. Because as he is, so are you in this world. You're crucified with Christ. If you've been born again, you're a new creation and the old things have passed away. And if it won't make him happy, it won't deep down make you happy either. And you know, when you start to live and feed on the things that he's putting in front of you, when you start to walk in the Spirit, not fulfill the lust of the flesh, begin to ask him for the help that you need, you're going to find joy and happiness. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, that's the word. Father, I ask, Lord, that you'd speak to us and that you'd help us, each one here. Lord God, as we behold you, Lord, to become more and more like you. Father, I thank you, Lord, right now for your Spirit setting people free. Father, I thank you, Lord God, Holy Ghost, for revolution. Hallelujah. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Hallelujah. Before we go on, I just want to ask if there's anybody here that doesn't know Christ, that says, I need to be born again, I need to be changed, I need to become a new creation, I need to get forgiveness from God. Jesus hung and died naked on a cross for you. He was not ashamed of you, and he said, if you will confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. If that's you tonight and you say, I need to give my life to Christ, I need to get right with God, I want you just to raise your hand and I want to pray for you right now. If that's you, says, I need to give my life to Christ. I've been playing games. I need to give my life to Christ. If you've never done that before, or you're saying right now, I know I've believed, but I haven't committed my life to him. If that's you, I want to pray for you right now. Is there anybody here that says, I want to take a stand and say, my life is now going to belong to Christ. I want to give it to him who gave his life for me. If that's you, just raise your hand right now. I want to pray for you. Hallelujah.